Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we talk about the God who comes to dwell amongst his people. This is part three, our concluding thought in this limited series. But first let's pray. Loving God, would you shine within our hearts the pure light of your divine knowledge and open the eyes of our minds and hearts, that we may understand and embrace the message of the scripture. In Jesus' name, Amen. There are three readings for today. They are all from the NIV. The first one is Numbers chapter 18, verse 7. But only you and your sons, said God, may serve as priests in connection with everything at the altar and inside the curtain. I am giving you the service of the priesthood as a gift. Anyone else who comes near the sanctuary must be put to death. Then we go to Exodus chapter 26, verse 31 to 34. God speaking says, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen, with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. Hang it with gold hooks on four posts of acacia wood, overlaid with gold, and standing on four silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasps, and place the Ark of the Testimony behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Put the atonement cover on the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy place. And then we go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 37 to 39. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. God, knowing our human frailties and weaknesses, is nevertheless willing to dwell among his people in a particular way. A people who more often than not offer worship, praise and thanksgiving that is less than perfect. For this reason, God determined through the new covenant to dwell in the hearts of his people by the mysterious working of his Holy Spirit. However, none of this happens without people being confronted with the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. He is God's only provision. This is typified through the tabernacle, which has only one point of entry into it, so that those who entered came face to face with the altar, where offerings were made and sins were confessed so that atonement could be effected. The tabernacle, as God's provision for the nation of Israel to worship and be in relationship with him, and as a place where God would dwell among his people, stands as a type, showing the church more about the ministry of Jesus and the work of God, as well as how we are to relate to God in terms of worship in the dispensation of the new covenant. Thus, the tabernacle, its furniture, the offerings, the festivals, the priesthood, are, in the words of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, a copy and shadow of the heavenly things made manifest through Jesus in the new covenant. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, the Gentiles were encouraged by Paul not to let others, especially Judaizers, judge them due to a lack of any of the Old Testament practices, saying, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So, in this final part, we will focus on this one item of tabernacle furniture called the veil, which was hung in the tent of meeting. It is an interesting piece of temple furniture woven with red, blue, and purple, having pictures of cherubim or angels woven into it. The colors blue, purple, and red are seen to represent Jesus and who he is. Blue speaking of his righteousness. Purple speaks of his royalty. And scarlet speaks of his blood sacrifice made for us. How the veil looked exactly we cannot be certain, but it served a very important purpose. It was the one thing that separated all of the priests from the most holy place, with the exception of the high priest, who, once a year on the Day of Atonement, was able to enter to offer the blood of an animal, first for himself, then for the nation of Israel, on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence was. The veil which hid the Ark and God's presence from God's people emphasized the huge separation between an utterly holy God and a fallen people. It is thought also that the cherubim which were embroidered on it may have served as a reminder of when God banished Adam and Eve from Eden and his immediate presence in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. And so, with a painful awareness of how their fallen human condition kept them at arm's length from him, God's people nonetheless worshipped from a distance at the altar where sacrifice was made and through the mediation of a priest. That is, until Calvary, where, as Jesus took his final breath, God invited people into his very presence as the temple veil in the great temple in Jerusalem, a much larger veil, difficult to tear, was torn from top to bottom. It's as if God himself reached down from heaven and took hold of it to tear it in two, so doing away with the separation between himself and all who would come to him through faith in Jesus. And this then brings us to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22, where it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." There are two things that we see happening here that will and should affect us as God's people who worship and serve him. Firstly, through Christ we have entrance into the true Holy of Holies. In verse 20 it is called a new and living way. It is new because it is compared with the practices of the Old Covenant. It is a living way because by comparison the Old Covenant practices were considered to be only a copy and shadow of things to come. The curtain in the earthly tabernacle was the means of access to the most holy place for the high priest. Metaphorically speaking, Jesus' sacrificial death was the curtain or means of access to the heavenly sanctuary for him and for all who trust in him. Paul expresses the provision of God in this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, where he said, "God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Thus, we believe that we enter God's very presence when we take time to be with him privately, as well as when we join together as God's people in worship. Now, some may say that while this is good news, they still feel inhibited because of a sense of unworthiness. But our Hebrews 10 passage provides us with assurances. The second thing is that we can draw near to God with a clear conscience. This is in verse 21 and verse 22. So if I am God's child, I am free to worship God with a clear conscience, because my heart is sprinkled with Christ's blood, and his sacrifice frees me from guilt, the judicial guilt that came with my sinful condition, also just simple guilty feelings. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am set free to live a life pleasing to God without any sense of guilt. And so God does not, on the basis of our deeds, determine whether or not we are worthy of admission to his presence. Instead, our admission is based solely on being in Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Any sense of unworthiness or being excluded would really be on our part, either due to a failure to understand the grace of God, or an unwillingness to let go of sin that alienates us so easily from his grace, grace which God longs to show us. How else would we find forgiveness of sins if we were not able to come and confess them in his presence? How will we learn his will and so live a life that is more Christ-like if we are unable to dwell in his presence by faith? But now we can, for through Jesus we have access into God's presence with a clear conscience. And so as we end, there is a very significant thing that the removal of the veil introduces us to as well, namely that God is our Heavenly Father. With the veil parted, we can learn to cry, Abba, Father. Jesus spoke in the Gospels of God as Father while he ministered to those he encountered. And Paul speaks along these lines in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 16, where he says to the Roman Christians, For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. In his presence, we come to know God as the perfect Father who is in covenant with us, who calls us his sons and his daughters, who desires to share his life with us, to comfort us and assure us that all will be well in the end, to speak to us of his plans and his purposes, and to show us how to live well in this world. And so God tore the veil in order to bring us close to him. Ours will be to take the opportunity to get close to him. It is for us to make time to attend to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, who has opened the way for us to know him and who dwells in our hearts. God assures us in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 to 13, Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And to make it clearer, James in chapter 4, verse 8 reminds us also to come near to God, and he will come near to you. And so may God help us to live fully as his people in his presence. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, you have assured us of your presence among us and in us. We thank you that no curtain separates us from your presence and therefore your love and care. As we live in this world, keep us mindful that in every place we may find ourselves, every step that we take, you are with us, watching over us, blessing us with your presence, your indwelling Holy Spirit. So may our lives be a witness in our world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.